T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Yeah, it looks like the Dallas Cowboys are more wait and see than all in. Maggie and Perloff, welcome to the show. So you got Mike McCarthy and, of course, all of the other coaches, owners at the ownership meetings down in Orlando. And obviously the Dallas Cowboys are always interesting, particularly this offseason, because they've been not doing anything.
Well, it started out with Jerry Jones saying all in. Mm-hmm. And then that meant they added linebacker Eric Kendricks, basically a veteran minimum kind of deal. They re-signed their long snapper, all in.
Important.
Yes.
Really important thing.
They re-signed a couple guys. Oh, yeah. They lost about 11 contributing players that basically signed for next to nothing elsewhere and doesn't make any sense to anybody. But effectively, the Cowboys have sent the message, we are not a serious Super Bowl contender anymore. Maybe that's the best thing to come out of this, because I can't see the way this offseason has gone. No one's picking the Cowboys to go to the Super Bowl next year, because they couldn't do it this year. Everything was set up for them. The NFC seemed kind of down, and the Cowboys were really good in the regular season, could do nothing in the playoffs. There is no reason to think any of that's going to change because of the way this offseason has come in. All in, is it the exact opposite of what happened? Well, it's all out, or just we're good.
Jerry Jones did change. He kind of flipped that yesterday. He didn't say this on camera. He said it to a reporter, I believe for Dallas Morning News, that he said, we're going to have to do more with less now. It's like, man, maybe somebody's got to take the microphone away from Jer. This is like when we take the car keys away from grandpa and grandma after it gets, you don't want them driving. Because how do you go from all in to do more with less? Like, that to me is such, I know Jerry Jones at times has been a mastermind of messaging. This is not one of those times.
Jerry Jones has said contradictory things at 82, 62, 42, 22. I don't think this has anything to do with age. It's not like Jerry has been a model of consistency with his quotes. Guy speaks off the top of his head all the time. But here's the reality. They have a huge contract with Dak Prescott, and they're not redoing it, so they're not going to create any salary cap space that-wise. $4 million means nothing. They have to pay CeeDee Lamb. They have to pay Micah Parsons. The bill is due, and there's nothing they could do. The reality of the situation is they are stuck. And I think the other reality is they are not going to take a step up. There's, how are they going to become the Super Bowl team with the, basically running the same back group, running the same group back, just a little bit watered down?
Well, if you ask Mike McCarthy, we'll get back into Dak in a minute, but if you ask Mike McCarthy, he said fans do not worry about the inactivity of the team during free agency. Do not worry about the inactivity of the team during free agency.
We are definitely improving. You know, we're just not part of the free agent market right now.
So is that what Cowboys fans can hang their hat on, the fact that there are guys coming back that are going to be getting better because people keep waiting for the Cowboys to make moves?
Well, I think that, and also it's, I mean, there's a lot left. So I mean, it's, you know, you'll probably have a market right before the draft or post draft, and then you got your June 1st market, and you know, obviously we'll have another draft class, so I have great confidence in our roster.
All right, that is courtesy of ESPN. Of course, you heard Adam Schefter there asking some questions. And so well, sure. Yes, you have all these things. You have a market before the draft, okay. You got the draft, you got the post-draft, and then you got the June 1 designation. I think Cowboy fans are coming to grips with this, which is you're going to have your draft, which, by the way, we praise the Cowboys because they do draft well, but they're also just like every other team where there's hits and there's misses. For every CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons, do we know what Mazi Smith, by the way, is now, they announced, going to get shoulder surgery today. And other guys who, like, this is the thing. You're just like every other team. You're not going to hit 100%. And now you're asking your front office, essentially, to be perfect, almost perfect in a draft to fill holes that you need.
Yeah, I mean, actually, I think they are a little better at drafting. Mazi Smith already had the shoulder surgery.
He said he's recovering well. Oh, good.
And their second pick last year, Luke Schoonmaker, who's pretty good, the tight end, he had shoulder surgery as well. And everyone knows this guy we loved in last year's draft, DeMarvion Overshown, got hurt really early in the season, ACL. So their draft picks are not coming to the irony is they're definitely not coming to the rescue here. They have been a good kind of conservative line-building draft thing. But you let Tyron Smith out of the building, and I know he's been hurt, but that's going to affect the team. A guy like that, I'm not quite sure. The one thing, they do get Diggs back,
yep,
who was hurt last year. I just think that we know the ceiling of the Cowboys, even when they're fully loaded. And this really should have been an all-in season. They should have extended Dak. I know that's an unpopular. Should have extended him to free up salary cap moves.
They should have extended him
last
year.
And then get a bunch of guys in there.
To be honest, they should have done it last year. Not even wait till this year, because if you had just gotten it done last season when we first started talking about this,
right,
you would already have this thing set. And even if you did end up drafting a quarterback or something in the second round or third round, the timeline of that might line up a little bit better with the ending of Dak's contract. Like,
they'd be 2 years into a 5-year deal. Would that be big different?
I think so. As opposed to if they end up extending him after the season, then you're 1 year into a 5-year deal.
That's totally, if they don't extend him before the season, they can't bring him back. That'd be total franchise malpractice,
okay,
right?
Okay, so then you're looking at probably taking a quarterback in the draft then this year, right?
Maybe not the first round, maybe
probably
second
not the first
round.
Maybe in the second round.
Yeah,
okay.
Which is a flyer.
Sure, but again, because you failed to do anything in free agency and a lot of your depth walked out the door, that second round pick is now, they're already valuable.
Yeah.
That's now more valuable for maybe somebody on the offensive line, maybe a linebacker.
Yeah, maybe
you want to go running back there. I mean, you're going to spend it on a quarterback that you know is not going to see the field because you've got Dak and you've got Cooper Rush.
Well, yeah.
And Trey Lance, I guess.
You know what? You convinced me. Don't draft a quarterback, because if they're not going Dak next year, they want to. Jerry's not a young man. He's got to bring in an Aaron Rodgers type. He's got to go all in at quarterback.
Who's that next guy?
There's got to be another guy. You know, it could be. Either you, Russell
Wilson. Kirk Cousins has got a place. Russell Wilson. Oh,
every year, now, one or two big veterans comes free.
Okay.
And somebody's going to want to play in Dallas. Somebody's going to want to get rid of a contract. They could get a big name in.
Okay, but you get a big name, that's not all equal, you know? Because if you're a big name, most likely you're a franchise quarterback with your team. You're not getting Lamar. You're not getting Joe Burrow.
Yeah, but you might get Aaron Rodgers. You might get Kirk Cousins. You might get Tom Brady. Just some of the names that have moved in the 2020s.
No, you know, but you can't get Rodgers or Kirk Cousins.
Well, there's the next Rodgers or Kirk Cousins.
Okay.
I'm saying every offseason now, a big veteran has come loose.
Yeah,
and somebody's going to want to play in Dallas. Probably could get Deshaun for a song if you wanted him.
Good luck with that. I mean, he's been an abject disappointment.
I understand, but I'm just saying there's definitely going to be quarterback movement. Every year now, some older guy comes free. And the other thing, too, is maybe they can convince Dion to let Shador come to Dallas again. I don't know. There's a lot of options. There's a lot of options.
Yeah.
They're not going to have a ton of salary cap space next year either. But I don't even know how we got on this.
What are the Cowboys going to do at quarterback? I mean, it's a major question.
Jalen Hurts, too, could shake free for sure.
You're trying to kick him out of the building?
Philadelphia? This is Philadelphia. They kicked Carson Wentz out of the building. There are so many different things that could happen by next year.
Yeah, but is that a plan? See, like, that's the problem. And I think that's where the Dallas Cowboy fans, I think, would be really frustrated, because this is a problem you brought on yourself.
Yeah.
Because you didn't approach this Dak Prescott negotiation in the right way. And now you're hoping a prayer that Jalen Hurts shakes free, or you're hoping a prayer, what, Daniel Jones? I mean, who do you want? This Jared Goff? Who's going to be and I don't think Goff's actually going to become a free or be available. You want to spin with Derek Carr?
Listen,
you could have
gotten Justin Fields for a song this year. I think most Cowboys fans are sick of Dak and they would rather start over.
But they didn't get Fields. See, that's the thing. They could have done that too.
Yeah.
They traded, a third or fourth rounder for Trey Lance? What was it, a third or
fourth? Fourth rounder.
And,
yeah, Trey Lance.
And didn't want to do a future sixth round, a future fifth, a sixth round that could become a fourth rounder for Justin Fields. Like, they could have done this stuff. They did nothing.
I got one. How about Matthew Stafford coming home?
I mean, and what's the state of his spine?
I'm just saying, I'm just saying there are always options. I'll bet you if we put a poll up, name all those names I just said, would you rather take a risk with those guys or keep Dak for the next 5 years? Most Cowboys fans are done with Dak. Will you admit that?
Yeah, I think they are. But again, that it doesn't help you, even if you are done with them, because you don't have an obvious answer here. You know, unless you really want the next Baker Mayfield is more likely than the next Tom Brady.
The Bucs are going to be pretty sick of Baker's contract by next season. Derek Carr is definitely going to wear out as well. I mean, there's going to be tons of options next year.
Good options.
All those guys have good games.
Yeah.
By the way,
you're right. I can't fight you on that one. They do have good games sometimes.
But you have to admit, though, there is way more veteran turnover than there used to be. Every offseason, somebody big name comes loose. And Lamar Jackson was out there last year, too.
Well, yeah, but that was he really? I mean, it would have cost a lot to get him. So here's my question, though.
Yeah.
If you're going to go that, we're talking about Dak Prescott and the Cowboys in the future with him at the position. If you're going to go for a Derek Carr or you're going to go for a Baker Mayfield, isn't Dak basically better?
Well, I don't know.
Isn't he not basically, he is better than those guys, so you didn't upgrade yourself.
What about Aaron and Mr. Rogers? It feels like he's a natural fit with Jerry Jones in Dallas to me.
Yeah.
He's definitely not going to be a Jet next year. I'll tell you that much right now.
Is he going to make it through a whole Jet season this year? Can we start with the baby steps on this before putting Rogers on the third team?
I think there are a lot of Cowboys fans who want to rip the Band-Aid and start over quarterback, whether it's draft, whether it's free agency, whether it's something different. So I think in many ways, their decision not to extend Dak and create salary cap room is defensible. I think a lot of fans would go that route, say, you know what, this season might not be ideal because we couldn't bring in a lot of help, but maybe we don't extend Dak. There is logic there. It's not like when you say there's no plan, I mean, extending Dak for 5 years is a risky proponent too because he hasn't gotten them to the Super Bowl.
Sure. I mean, I get it. I just think that, say you put together another 10 to 12 win season.
Yeah.
There's an expectation that your window's still open. So to then go into a season with an unsure quarterback situation, ask Pittsburgh Steelers fans how it feels. I mean, it might be an upgrade for the Steelers now.
Oh, God, they're stoked.
But Russell Wilson and Justin Fields
they're thrilled about that compared to Kenny Pickett.
Okay, but again, I'm not comparing them to Kenny Pickett. I'm comparing them to Dak, who's been winning you double-digit games for a decade now.
I think Steelers fans...
And by the way,
are very similar to Cowboys fans.
Think about Pittsburgh. I might think it would work, but there's a very non-zero chance that both Russ is out of gas and that there isn't more meat on the bone for Justin Fields because his market told the story. Now, I think he could have a resurrection here and he could still salvage his career, but my opinion differs from basically, I don't know, the league. So I would be willing to admit if I was the one who's wrong here, considering he got traded for a bag of footballs in 2025. So I don't know if Pittsburgh Steelers fans are feeling great about that. And again, we're talking about the Cowboys. You got to worry a little bit about the grass isn't always greener here. You might not like Dak, but what's waiting for you on the other side?
I think most Cowboy fans, and we could even do a poll, most Cowboy fans want to find out. I mean, really, I like Dak, and I wasn't surprised he had such a good season. He shreds the Eagles every time he plays them. Mm-hmm. But I do think his playoff failures are now a real thing. And part of it is the team around him. I agree with that. But they are in desperate need of a rebuild, in a sense. They need to reset their table. And honestly, the best way to do it is a new quarterback. And I think they can get a big, big old guy to come in if they want. Say a Stafford. Say I honestly think if they want Aaron Rodgers, Rodgers is not going to spend any more time in New York. Why not bring him in? Why not do something? Get Tom Brady out of retirement. You've been calling for that for years, Maggie.
I'm going to let that one finally die. I'm finally going to let that one go. I don't think he's coming back, guys.
Kyler Murray back to Dallas. Why not? I mean, there's a lot of movement these days in quarterback.
Kyler Murray's had so much playoff success.
That being said, I think that the Cowboys want to try something different. I just think that a lot of fans want a new path. This year, they're stuck in a weird limbo. I mean, I think you mentioned this, is anyone picking them to go to the Super Bowl next year? I can't imagine people doing that.
No, maybe this will be the year no one sees them coming. The Dallas Cowboys a little hard, but we'll see.
Yeah, I don't know if the Cowboys are going to sneak up on anybody.
It's kind of hard. It's the smell of Johnny Walker coming from the Jerry bus that really gives it away. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. We've got breaking news coming up on the other side. Another rule in the NFL gets unanimously agreed upon or just agreed upon.
I think it's always unanimous.
Not unanimous.
Not unanimous. All
ooh.
Right. But it's agreed upon.
Definitely, but it is passed.
I'll bet you right now Mark Davis voted against it, whatever it is. I don't know the rule.
You don't even know the rule. You just know Mark Davis.
Oh, he loves voting against everyone else.
Just like seeing his name in the news. 855-212-4CBS.
Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. I don't understand why people, Maggie, complain about the NFL rule book. It's very, very clear and simple.
Yeah,
and they're making it simpler by the day. They banned the swivel, hip drop, tackle. I mean, everybody can see those from a mile away.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yes, is it just a hip drop or a swivel hip drop? But I think in the break, you were complaining they passed the new kickoff return. Huzzah, huzzah. And it's totally, this is easy. This is how me and my friends always do it. We always hear basically the kicker kicks from 35 as always, nothing changing there. And, you know, nine members of the return team line up in the setup zone. We all know the setup zone. Been there when I was a single man between the 35 and 30 line.
Then two retired. Live your life there.
Then two returners, of course, are in the landing zone. I mean, everyone knows the landing zone.
Didn't
between
make
the goal
the landing
line.
So much for yeah. you, but the setup zone you were in.
So you have a landing zone and a setup zone, and you have various kinds of fair catches. And now, God knows what's going to happen in the onside kick. I know that basically you have to tell the officials you're going to have an onside kick, although I think that rule might be worked on in the future. So I just gave you the gist of it, but this is an XFL rule from 2023, and then the XFL and USFL merged and got rid of this rule because it was so silly. But the NFL said, you know what,
we'll take a turn.
We like it. This is a very radical movie. This is one of the most radical rule changes I've ever seen.
Yes, as far as like how different the game is going to look, this is going to look very different.
This play,
and kickoffs, because they want more kickoffs. This is the league that wants safety, wants more kickoffs. But, and I'm obviously being sarcastic there. So it's my understanding, you just set that up correctly. So essentially, picture this in your mind. You're going to have the receiving the kicking team and the receiving team 5 yards apart from each other, essentially
right. like
lined up across from each other, like Red Rover style. 5 yards apart on the 35 and the 30.
Close, almost like a normal play.
The 40 and 35,
sorry. It's closer to a normal play. So basically, they're not running down the field at full speed at each other. They're almost like it's a line of scrimmage.
Exactly. So like everyone, so then the ball gets kicked off and everybody runs in the same direction once it's field in either the setup zone or whatever. The setup zone, the landing zone is the team's 20-yard line to the goal line. So I guess
I just like
the red zone. Okay, so whatever. The landing zone is from the goal line to the 20. The setup zone is from the
35 to 40,
and then there's like a kickoff start line. Yeah. So what I'm to believe here, we're talking about the new kickoff rules that just were passed moments ago at the NFL owners meetings. No fair catches. No such thing as a fair catch anymore, and I think that's going to throw people off. Now, there's three different types of touchbacks.
Right.
That I'm seeing here. You can get a touchback to the 40, a touchback to the 30, and a touchback to the 20 for various different things. But it is my understanding there is no fair catching
right, but
anymore.
For most of the NFL history, there were no fair catches on kickoffs anyway.
But I'm just saying this is going to feel different than what we've seen over the last few years.
Right. Kickoffs are not
generally fair catch, right?
Yeah, there's no reason to fair catch a kickoff in most. So that's not a big issue to me. The one thing I did read, and I'm sorry, I have to update this stat. The XFL did not, it's hard to break one out of this format. It's closer to a running play. So it's not going to be like all of a sudden we're going to see a bunch of 85-yard runs. I do understand it because we all know just the general thing of guys flying down the field and picking up full speed and the other team picking up full speed. It is quite a dangerous play. But last year, there were only 21% of kicks were returned. In the Super Bowl, none were returned, ironically. I was going to make that bet and forgot to at the last minute. So they had to do something to make this play. Otherwise, just put it at the 30-yard line and start there. I think that's the other option. Which do you think is smarter, this really kind of confusing rule, which might be fun for kids, or should they just go straight to a touchback? The offense starts at the 25.
Well, here's the thing, though. Don't we have data about drives that start at the 25 and the percentage that they end in points versus drives that start inside your 10? Like, if the drive starts inside the 10-yard line as opposed to starting the drive at the 25.
Right, but on kickoff, you're unlikely to start inside your 10.
Right, you would be. But, I mean, it's most guys just boot it right out of bounds, right? I mean, that's
that's what we had basically last year was.
But there's other, I don't know. Starting at the 25, I feel like, is giving your opponent some good field position. This has a chance to break off a couple more, maybe more exciting play. But weren't we just talking about the hip drop tackle and the swivel tackles and how dangerous those are? Couldn't you see this maybe being also, I know it's not two guys running straight into each other, but at the same time, couldn't you see more dangerous tackles being made on this play as well?
Well, I mean, just
you want to make it safer, do the touchback thing, automatic.
Right, right. That would be the ultimate safety rule. But I think it's closer to a regular play. So you'll have the same injury rate or a similar injury rate to a normal run play.
Sure.
So that's the thinking. I understand. The kickoff as it was stupid. I mean, remember in the Super Bowl, there not only was there not a return, I don't think a single kick landed in the field of play. Everyone said Vegas was a very friendly kicker stadium. So what was the point of that play? Just to watch a guy boot into the stands? I understand everything they're doing here. I think kids are going to like this play. I think Bogus, who just walked in the room, his sons are going to be like, man, I can't wait for the kickoff. This is a really interesting play.
You know, I'll give it to the NFL on this thing. I have no idea if this is going to work or how long it's going to last. But, you know, they do try to maximize every play. Like when they move back the extra points from... Yeah. To make that a 35 yard? No, what is it?
I think it's 32 yards.
It's 32 yards.
32, 33.
I mean, it did make it a little bit more like, nerve-wracking, yep. Where they used to be really automatic. Now the kickers are so good these days.
Still kind of nerve-wracking.
Especially, if you're like the Cowboys in the playoffs last year and stuff like that. So they do try to maximize every play.
Right, right.
And the kickoffs were not fun.
But it's funny, though. You pointed out earlier the sort of the hypocrisy of the NFL that they're saying this is for safety, and it really isn't about the hip drop tackle. They're saying this is for safety, but it obviously isn't because there's going to be way more tackles.
Yeah, they want more action. Anytime there's more action, I don't think it's going to be more safe.
But they're saying this is a safety play because you're getting rid of the guys flying down the field. You know, they had gotten rid of the wedge, which seemed crazy now that we think about it. Do you know at the turn of the century... that people were dying all over football fields because they had these swinging wedges where basically both teams would line up and just run at each other at full speed. Then Teddy Roosevelt got involved, and this is when Yale was a powerhouse back in 1903. So the NFL is a long, long history of making things safer. Sometimes they have unforeseen consequences. I think it's going to be fun. I'm for this. Why not? I mean, I still, it's going to take a while to get used to the landing zone. And I feel like a weirdo saying, was he really in the landing zone? The setup zone and the landing zone sound like unserious things.
Do you remember, didn't NBC, did they try to do something about the green zone on their broadcast? Like, we all know what the red zone is.
Well, that's what
Tom Coughlin calls the red zone the green zone. It's so stupid.
And the green zone's what, the 20 to 30?
No, it's the red zone.
Because you make your money in the green zone.
Yeah.
No. I think NBC did something where it was beyond 20.
Yeah. I think that does sound really familiar.
Yeah. And I was like, this is like trying to make fetch a thing. Like, I don't think it's going to catch on.
This is like when the XFL started with He Hate Me, didn't they do like jump ball or a scrum in the middle of the field?
To start the game.
Yeah.
It was like the bacon.
Yeah.
Yeah. This feels a little bit like that. I mean, that you're borrowing from the XFL, and the XFL is like, this is so stupid, they got rid of it. The fact that the XFL didn't even want it anymore, and now the NFL is taking it. Is unusual. This is unexpected.
Yeah, the XFL's like, we're good. Here comes the NFL. We'll take it.
It seems a little radical to me. I usually leave, go get a sandwich or go to the fridge for the kickoff. Now I'm going to watch. I'm like, dude, he's in the safety zone.
It just looks so weird, too. The kicker by himself, the ball's in the air, the 20 blockers are standing there still, waiting for the returner to catch it, and then they move.
Right.
It's so bizarre.
And
looking.
They have to figure out the onside kick, because I read the rule that they have to tell the officials we're going to onside kick. Then they go back to the old style.
Right. Oh,
really? So there's no surprise onside kick.
Because you can't line it. You can't load up on either side.
No. It's a pot. You actually, I don't know what the rule is. You can't onside kick in this format.
The one they were discussing, and I guess we'll learn more details, was they would allow you to at least move one guy over, so you can't load up the way you used to. But before, it had to be basically just an even line.
Yeah, it was 5-5. Now it could be 6-4.
Now you could do 6-4, which is a little helpful for the onside kick. That also kind of got neutered completely.
Yep.
But that is going to be an interesting thing, because there is no onside in terms of surprises. I also think there's a restriction also on when you can do it.
Yep, like only fourth quarter.
Right, which that's the part really dislike.
Take that.
And you have to be trailing.
It only means
to catch up now.
That's the part that I think is... I love everything else about it. That's the only part about this I don't like.
But multiple teams have tried to impose a 4th-and-25 rule where you have a 4th-and-20. Instead of the kick, you can try a long pass play, which I think eventually will get passed.
Man, that is a shot of Sean Payton, because that is one of the all-time great plays in Super Bowl history, is him starting the third quarter with the onside kick. To say you have to only do it in the fourth quarter, I don't like that.
It
only happens in the fourth quarter anyway. It's a very rare example.
And I think there are games where people do it. Obviously, they do the surprise onside kicks, and we see that to start a second half or whatever. But I also think there are games where you say, hey, look, I'm playing against a team. My defense is awful. And the only way we're going to win this game is if we get the ball back right now in the third quarter. You should be allowed to do that. Like, the fact that they're legislating that is ridiculous. It's stupid. It's anti-strategy.
I don't love it. We'll see about the kickoffs. This could be fun. Bogus is here with headlines. How are you?
I'm doing well, guys. Baseball's not alone dealing with gambling drama right now. As you've already discussed this morning, Raptors forward Jonte Porter reportedly under investigation because of betting irregularities involving two of his recent games. On both occasions, Porter made early exits so that the under hit on all his prop bets, and there were plenty of bets placed on those unders. Porter was officially out for personal reasons last night as the Raptors lost at home to the Nets 96-88.
By the way, shouldn't they have to, like, rescind that? Like, we know it wasn't personal reasons.
Yeah, the personal reasons.
They do that stuff all the time. And, like, when
under investigation.
Yeah, and then we learn, oh, they're under investigation. You should say, oh, no, actually he's sad because he's under investigation.
I bet the PA has something to do with that. But, yes, you should probably change the designation. Personal reasons, it feels like a bastardization of personal reasons.
Right, exactly, because personal reasons can be very serious, and we take it very serious. This guy is sitting because he may have been gambling on basketball. I mean, come on.
The only thing I don't know, was he technically unable to play last night, or can he play while under investigation?
Like, he's not suspended.
I think he could have played.
Right. No, I'm not saying he should have. Yeah. But if he could have played, if he's not suspended on what is, you know, the exempt list or whatever, like, he's not playing for personal reasons. The personal reasons are he might have bet on basketball games.
It's a wide definition of personal reasons.
That it's him is saying, hey, I can't play because of something that's happening
to
me.
My dad's sick or whatever.
Right. Whereas clearly the Raptors or the NBA has been like, sit down, buddy.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, the Clippers cannot win at home. Five straight losses in L.A., 133-116 to the Pacers last night. Who are these guys, Ty Lue?
Yeah, we have an identity, but right now our identity has been shaken because we're not winning. You know, we're not doing things the right way consistently. And so when you don't do that, you're going to lose. You know, you're going to lose games. Games you should probably win.
His team currently loses a tie for fourth out west with the Pelicans. The Kings and Mavericks, meanwhile, remain tied for six, both winning last night. Sacramento 108-96 over the Sixers. Domantas Sabonis, 11 points, 10 boards, 13 assists to become the fifth player ever with 25 triple-doubles in a season. Dallas won in Utah 115-105 behind 29-12 and 13 from Luka. The Rocket winning streak is 9 after downing Portland 110-92, and the Knicks thumped Pearl's Pistons 124-99. Somebody wasn't in MSG last night. Dante DiVincenzo scoring a career-high 40, hitting a team record 11 threes.
That's a greater joy knowing that the Pearl's Pistons got crushed by the Knicks, and his new head coach is making excuses, complaining about the Knicks running out the score. I loved it.
Feels on brand for Tom Thibodeau to be a big regular season winner here.
At least we win something. Look at your Pistons and Sixers. Not winning much lately, are they?
Well, we'll all be sitting at home watching the Eastern Conference Finals together.
Okay, Mister. There are degrees of loser.
Oh, whatever. Bilotti thinks they're all losers except for the Nuggets.
They are.
Very specifically.
Clarify that.
By the way, even I'm fans of two of those three teams, and I do think we're all losers.
By the way, sitting home in the Eastern Conference Finals. Okay, we'll clip that.
Happening. I'm a Knicks fan too. It's probably happening.
I'm going to actually make my own rule proposal that if the Knicks do actually make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, both EJ and Pete both have to sit home. We won't be able to stand you guys.
Yeah, there's
you've been waiting a long time though, so we'll let you have it.
Knicks are a tough fan base to see them win. Even Knicks fans might admit that.
Nope, they won't.
No, definitely not.
They won in the 70s.
Yeah, what do you mean?
It's not like they won last year.
No, but EJ, you and all your cronies yesterday, like, oh, A drama-free Knicks win. I could get used to these. These are great.
I said it was good for your health. It is.
I saw like 8 tweets about that last night. Rapid fire. We get it, guys. You're beating the Pistons by 25. Congrats.
They are the real basketball team in New York. So
listen, you're not a Knicks fan. All right, enough of that. I'll give you the Jets, the Mets, the Islanders. Do not start telling me about the Knicks right now.
Wait a minute. Wait,
is that true? Bilotti, fake fan?
What is this anger for toward me?
I'm not anger. I'm just this grasp of reality.
He calls one Nets game and all of a sudden.
I thought he's Jason Kidd.
Because your Nets are in 14th place, I mean,
it's 11th. You've made two historical statements this morning. You said, I've had enough anger for now. I'm taking a break, and I'm a Knicks fan.
A Knicks fan.
Since when? Lunch?
1995, no. When I was a little kid.
We found out from Bilotti he was done with the NBA.
In general, I'm done with the NBA.
Gotcha.
I am a Knick fan.
Do you have a Knick pullover?
I do.
Damn it.
Got him.
All right, fine.
With the old logo as well.
There you go.
EJ's might. I mean, this PGO, maybe. EJ's a different kind of fan.
EJ is like I am with the Mets. He is with the Knicks.
I watched that terrible Pistons game last night. Right. So that shows
I had no chance I'm watching that game last night.
No, come on. The women were playing last night. Had to watch UConn. Had to watch Iowa.
No. I sat there watching that game last night, and I'm thinking, the rest of the show is probably watching Iowa right now.
Not probably.
Were you really watching the Knicks game, EJ? Were you? This is an honest place.
I was about to go there. There was three things on my TV, and being honest, none of them were Iowa. Knicks first. No. WWE Raw first.
There it is.
Knicks, then Bachelor.
Okay, except for you're lying about two or three Shohei Ohtani style. Come on, you knew every detail of the Bachelor. We knew every detail of the Bachelor this morning.
I watched it after the Knicks game.
Which is kind of sports in a way, too. Bachelor's competition.
I have no shame in being a super fan of the Bachelor.
It's kind of sports.
Yeah,
it's
The Bachelor is like wrestling. That's what I say. I think it's more like wrestling.
Jesse Palmer is the host. He's a former quarterback.
There's that too.
There's a lot of the Bachelor was a tennis pro.
Yes, he's a really good tennis player.
He's a really good tennis player.
And the success rate is like a 1980s shortstop in the National League hitting like 188.
I know.
Those relationships don't
work. Rafael Santana rule.
Yeah. They're Rafael Santana good at making couples.
EJ was upset. My wife gave a huge thumbs down to the new Bachelorette, Jen. Which
is fantastic. I don't know why you gave the thumbs down. It's fantastic. She's a beautiful woman. She's smart. She's, it's awesome. It's
should have been, it should have been Maria.
Maria is a hot mess. Okay.
Yeah.
Which is why you put her in Bachelor in Paradise. Okay.
Again, I know that.
I'm a fan of this. Put her in Bachelor Paradise. Put her where all these other hot people who are hot messes, and let her run the island. Because that's what's going to happen.
You said her name Jen like she's making it up. Jen.
Well, the funny thing
is, her name really Alyssa.
Who's named Jen now?
I came upstairs to the bedroom after the Iowa game. My wife's watching The Bachelor, and she goes, "I got to watch this to the end because they're going to name the next Bachelorette. It's going to either be." Was it Kelsey or
Kelsey versus
or Maria?
No, it was Kelsey. Oh, yeah.
It was Kelsey versus Maria. So she's like
Hayden, Jaden, and Brayden. Yeah. Whatever version of it.
She didn't know who it's going to be. Everyone thinks it's these two people. And then the person announced, she goes, and the next Bachelorette is Jen. And my wife goes, who's Jen?
No, I'll be honest. I got spoiled on Twitter and I saw it. I can't wait to see Jen the Bachelorette next season. I was like, who's Jen again?
Yeah, Jen is such an anonymous name. Everyone's like, is it going to be Kelsey or Maria? It's Jen.
But she came out.
Which Jen? There's seven Jens last season.
She came out. She looked great. She's the first Asian Bachelorette, so that's cool. Like, I am pro Jen. I know there's.
I just can't believe you guys still have stamina for this stuff.
Oh, it's awesome. It's not.
It's all the same.
Love is Blind is taking a lot of the energy away because Love is Blind is probably the second most popular thing in America behind the NFL right now.
I watch that too. I'm a super fan of that as well.
Yeah, of course you are.
Yeah.
It wasn't on TV.
It's close to sports. It's sports adjacent. Would you at least give us that?
Because they're guessing what each other look like?
Well, there's a sporting event every year. So this year it was tennis, and usually they do a football game every year during the show.
No, it's not sports.
The Bachelor Bowl.
Oh.
Yeah, there's better tennis playing in a tampon commercial.
They play football every year.
Wow. It's a line from Bridesmaids, guys.
Oh, there is. It's true. I was watching Million Dollar Listing, watching old rich people try to buy homes.
That show's not formulated.
I'm down with that. Oh, those shows are great.
It's actually, there's a piece to it for some reason. Yeah. I like watching the nice pools, nice scenery, all the stuff that I'm not going to be able to buy.
There's a new one on Netflix, Selling Beverly Hills. Highly recommend.
Yes, I watched that too.
But there's some of these, I don't know if it's that particular show, but Million Dollar Listing, but it always makes me so frustrated because it's a couple and she's like, I'm a part-time waitress in a diner and he's a long haul trucker and they have a budget of $5 million.
That's what happens.
I hate when that happens.
That's like the HGTV shows. Million Dollar Listing is just I'm a record label person, I'm an NBA player.
I'm Cameron Diaz.
And
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with those professions. I'm just saying how do they get a budget this big?
No, these guys, they have the money for these houses. But their formula is they just sit at a restaurant and they fake battle over the price and it always gets sold in the end. But the people actually legitimately have
the money
for the houses that they're buying.
All those people.
Yeah, they work in TV, not radio.
They did a whole season on eBay in multiple houses now.
Buying eBay.
Yeah. I think he's on next season.
Thinking out of prison cell.
They should make him the bachelor.
Buying a casino.
You guys want more sports stuff or no? More bachelor?
That wasn't sports?
No. Caitlin
it's
Clark,
all sports, according to these people.
Caitlin Clark and Iowa blew a 10-point lead through three quarters. They made just one field goal in the fourth, but they still beat West Virginia 64-54 to return to the Sweet 16. And EJ's Gonzaga in the Sweet 16 for the first time since 2015, thanks to a 77-66 win over Utah. We still have not heard from Justin Jefferson since Kirk Cousins left for Atlanta, but Vikings head coach Kevin O'Connell says the internal lines of communication have been open.
Justin knows that the situation with Kirk played out in a way that I think the Minnesota Vikings are in a situation moving forward. We're excited to build around people like Justin, people like Jordan Addison, TJ Hawkinson. In the quarterback position, he's always going to play a role in that because the skill sets that we're looking for will be guys that can feature who we believe to be the best receiver in football, which Justin is.
He's a cowboy by next week.
Yeah, at the moment.
Wait, hold on. I mean, you gave $10 million to Sam Darnold. When has Sam Darnold ever shown that he can deliver a football to these types of players?
There's no chance the line of communication has been as fruitful as he's making it sound.
Yeah, those are just messages he's left on Justin Jefferson's phone.
That's right.
Weird. He keeps going to voicemail.
He's
funny.
Texting him YouTube clips of J.J. McCarthy as we speak, though. Like everybody's trying to sell J.J. McCarthy.
While he's watching Million Dollar Listing.
I was going to say, or while he's watching, I don't know, clips of Aaron Rodgers. Oh, man. Who knows?
The Vikings, by the way, did get that second first-round pick recently, fueling the idea that they could move up for a quarterback. The Giants right now sit at number six. Maybe they use that on a quarterback. They do have the green light. Owner John Mara saying yesterday, if GM Joe Shane thinks he should take a quarterback, he doesn't mind it, although he still does believe in Daniel Jones. Guys, back to you.
You know, Bogus, you're a Giant fan around here.
Yeah.
I was saying to these guys, I think John Mara's got a little flavor of the month type of stuff, which is funny because they had this long run with Eli and a long run with Tom Coughlin. And ever since then, it's like he can't decide on anybody. They've blown it on head coaching hires. We'll see if Daboll sticks, but they've blown it on three head coaching hires in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And now they blew it with Daniel Jones by A, reaching for him, B, paying him, and now C, trying to find his replacement. I think John Mara's got this wandering eye thing going on. Like, they don't know which end is up.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, and they've been bad for a long time now. Like, the one playoff trip is the exception to a decade of mediocrity.
Yeah, the boat trip.
Yeah. No, the one two years ago was Minnesota.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, like, I forgot that.
Blip on the radar of crap, basically, for the Giants.
Well, it gets remembered more that the Vikings were a non-serious one seed than that the Giants were a great seven seed.
But they were still in the postseason.
Yeah.
Everything else, though, has been nonsense. And I think Dable's good. I think more that Shane is good. And Daniel Jones is replaceable. I just don't want J.J. McCarthy to be the replacement.
Got it.
That's my fear, is that they just reset the Daniel Jones clock with J.J. McCarthy.
J.J. McCarthy's just Daniel Jones version 2.0?
Basically. Kind of similar if you're a police sketch artist, this thing. Not that they look alike, but like, is he athletic? Yes. Can he run? Yes. Does he have a good arm? Yes.
Oh, there is no. Those two quarterbacks did not exactly have the same backgrounds. Daniel Jones was a Duke quarterback. J.J. McCarthy was like the number one recruit in the country.
And Duke let him throw the football.
Yeah, but it was Duke.
No, I know. I'm just, listen, have you not been having your own skepticism about J.J. McCarthy this entire show with all the love? I don't think he's worth the
But he's a very different person than Daniel Jones.
I'm sure he is, and hopefully he's a better singer at country concerts, too, because Daniel Jones keeps doing that unnecessarily. But I just don't think he's Justin Herbert in comparison to Daniel Jones. I think J.J. McCarthy is closer to being the same Daniel Jones frustrations, good but not great, not elite. I don't think he solves that problem for them
in a drastic way. Is Daniel Jones good?
Yeah, Daniel Jones.
He got paid off a 15-touchdown season in 2023.
Daniel Jones is good. He's a good quarterback. He's not a great quarterback, and he's not one that you wouldn't take a quarterback at number six for.
He forced their hands.
Well,
he played well.
Yeah.
And got the contract when they should have paid Saquon instead of Daniel Jones at that time.
Here's the thing. He's good only, and we might be able to debate about that, but also injury prone, which is he runs and he gets hurt.
Daniel
and that's
Jones,
not good.
He also has this very convenient situation where because he never got great weapons around him,
correct,
you can always argue away his numbers being unimpressive.
Well, thank you guys very much. Appreciate that. Coming up, lots more to do, including we do have an update on the Maggie and Perloff one-hit wonders bracket. Who has moved on to the Sweet 16 in the weddings region? Get that very important information to you in just moments. Don't move. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Been a busy day. We had a Shohei Ohtani press conference to react to. Perloff all in, believes Ohtani, thinks that he wouldn't have staked this, you know, been so direct and really staked out his innocence if there was any gray area. Like, he's taking a big risk in some ways. If any of this story doesn't end up coming true, he opens himself up for an incredible amount of criticism.
Absolutely. It was cut and dry what he said. He said, I'd never bet on sports. So if that's not true, I think there'd be a way to find that out.
I still want questions answered from Ohtani. I want to know, how did the translator have access to his bank accounts? I want to know, how did he really...
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Really have no idea the guy was gambling. Even if it's not debts, how do you not know your best friend and your brother has this, you know, sports betting side to himself? It just doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. Also, how do you not notice $500,000 in multiple wire transfers? So we still have questions for Ohtani. We got breaking news during the show that kickoffs are now changed in the NFL to model the XFL model. I mean, this is going to look wildly different.
Yeah, I mean, it's supposed to be for safety because the teams are not running at full speed down the field against each other. Last year, only 21% of kicks were returned. Now we'll see more of that. I got to admit, it's kind of fun. The fact that the XFL was like, this is too stupid, it got rid of it, is a little little interesting. It does feel like a spring football league thing. It does not look like, you know, something the Shield would go for. I give them credit for thinking outside the box.
Or taking someone else's outside the box thinking and adopting it for their own.
Technically, but yes.
And then we also got this very important news, which is the first region of the Maggie and Perloff one-hit wonder bracket is now on to the Sweet 16. So let's just play a couple of the winners, shall we? Who is moving on to the Sweet 16 of the Maggie and Perloff one-hit wonder bracket? How about 16-seeded Tainted Love, the Cinderella story? Once I ran to you, now I'll run from you. This tainted love you've given, I give you all a boy could give you. Take my tears and that's not nearly all. Tainted love. Okay, so Tainted Love beat out 9-seeded the Macarena, Perloff. I know you were devastated by that. In what is one of the closest matchups of the second round, Jump Around takes out Ice Ice Baby. I came to get down, so get out your seat and jump around. Jump around. Jump around. Jump around. Jump up, jump up and get down. Jump, 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 jump. Just a couple tenths of a percent decided that one. Also moving on, the one of the darlings of our tournament, 11-seeded Funky Town is out. Whoop, there it is, moves on.
Whoop, there it is. Whoop, there it is. Whoop,
You get the point, by the way.
Finally. Are you sure? Got a couple more? And finally, another Cinderella of this region, 15-seeded Pump Up the Jam over Teach Me How to Dougie. I want a place to stay. Get your booty on the floor tonight. Make my day. I want a place to stay. Get your booty on the floor tonight. Make my day. 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 Okay, so those are the songs that are moving on to the Sweet 16. If you would like to vote in the last call region of the Maggie and Perloff March one-hit wonders bracket, yep, you can do so. You got one-seeded Baby Got Back, two-seeded Come On Eileen. You got a lot of heavy hitters still to come.
Do you know less lyrics from Whoomp There It Is or Who Let the Dogs Out? Because those are songs where you only know the chorus.
I think I know a little of Whoop There Is. Tag team, back again, party up, put it, let's begin.
Is there all the lyrics to that?
There's the lyrics, yeah. I now know Who Let the Dogs Out, though, because I did a dramatic reading of Who Let the Dogs Out. And that was on Friday.
Yeah.
As one does.
I am impressed by your effort there. You butchered the world's words completely. Actually, there are gigantic lyrics to Whoop There It Is.
It's not tag team, back again?
Tag team... We're kicking the floor, and we're going to do it something like this. Tag team, twist to the right. I don't know. There's actually a ton of lyrics.
Well, we'll be back to butcher more lyrics tomorrow. Thank you, DJ Stewart. Thank you to Pete Pilotti, Andrew Bogish, Andrew Kaplan, the Weedos. See you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.